Hey, Marcia. Yeah, this is Lady C. Girl, I am running late. Did you see all the snow out there? I came back to get my pants. I'm going to have to wear these pants under this skirt today. It is just way too cold outside. I mean, there's just no way I'm going to be able to be out there with all that snow and how cold it's going to be today. Say what?
We don't wear pants in service or at the meetings.
I don't think you understand. I've got on a pair of boots, a long coat, and I got on this skirt. You don't even know I got the pants on.
Well, Lady C, regardless of what the weather is, you know these are the rules. We don't wear pants in service or at the meetings. That's just how it is.
Oh, this is nonsense. Well, listen, I'll see you in about 10 minutes. All right? Bye.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
The governing body has decided that sisters may choose to wear slacks when participating in the ministry and when attending Christian meetings, assemblies, and conventions.
Hey, this is JT. Welcome to another episode of The Critical Thought. In this episode, we will focus on the aftermath of the Watchtower changes. Yes, as Sam Cooke said, change is gonna come, and change is coming. We are seeing changes take place in this organization that we never imagined. And be honest about it. Aren't you just tickled pink? This really goes to show what we have always said about the Watchtower. So many of their teachings, their policies, have nothing to do with the Bible. They have nothing to do with the Word of God. Instead, they're merely the opinions of men that's been elevated all the way to divine status, and at any time, they can throw it in the trash. And that is what we are seeing. We are seeing a religious denomination, literally, that is desperate. It is desperate to stay afloat. It is desperate to keep its members. And they are literally throwing everything out except the kitchen sink. And as we sit back and watch this, it is simply amazing. The ex-Jehovah's Witness community over the last few months has done an outstanding job of examining upside down, flipping it over, turning it back over this way so that people can clearly see exactly what this organization is about. As we have said on so many occasions, there is no reason in the year 2024 to be ignorant about Jehovah's Witnesses. The information is there. All we have to do is reach out and find it. Well, today we're going to take a look at some of these changes and how they impact people. You know, there is an experience that we want to share that deals with the issue of beards. And when you stop and think about the issue of beards, it was announced back last year, end of last year. So a few months ago, after it was approved for Jehovah's Witness men to have beards, on the governing body update just recently, all of a sudden we see Mark Sanderson walk out onto the set. And he had that look that says, what?
Ooh, take a look at me now.
That's right. Take a look at me now. How I look now. As he stood there with his well-trimmed Drake-style beard. And yet, so many people have been hurt behind that ruling. This particular issue of changes impacts people. It impacts families, and it impacts some people right to their very death. This is what makes it so sad. It's not a joke. People's lives, people's emotional stability is on the line. Their relationships with husbands, wives, brothers, and sisters, all of it is on the line. And for so many men over the years, they have been impacted by this position, this teaching, sign off with the hand of God, as it were. Because you were made to feel as if you were not a good Christian. You weren't a servant of God. They condemned people, and people suffered for it. Well, we wanted to share an experience with you of someone who was personally impacted by this teaching that they had on beards. Miss Ivy, she's going to share her story about how the beards impacted her family.
When I saw the most recent update that beards are now okay, I was furious, okay, because that beard issue was a problem, like a serious problem in my house. Like my husband, he wanted to wear beard. He wanted to have that 5 o'clock shadow. And because of that, he didn't get appointed. He didn't have any responsibilities for a while. He wasn't given talks. He was marked because of it. Of course, he couldn't have no appointed positions. He was looked at as bad association, which in turn put us in a compromised situation, me and his daughter. And I don't like it. And the fact that they don't have to apologize for it, like the turmoil, the sleepless nights, the silent treatment, the bickering that happened in my home as a result of the beard issue. Now it's not an issue. It's not an issue. But that doesn't take away all the stress, all the drama, all the friction that it caused in my marriage. And I was looking at my husband like he had a problem. I'm looking at him like, you non-compliant, rebellious person in this organization. You're making us look bad. You're stifling my progress. So yeah, that beard issue is womp womp, dream deferred. He wouldn't go on service. So that means me and my daughter are going out by ourselves. Or I'm on the stage now and I'm doing great, but he's not getting any parts. But then that causes arguments in our home because then that increases jealousy. Or it gives off the perception that the wife is the spiritual one. She's the conduit for Jehovah's spirit to be in the house. And the husband is just... Murr, murr. So that created disagreements on top of disagreements, because then it becomes this conversation of me being self-righteous when it has nothing to do with it. You know what I mean? So this beard issue is multi-layered. Like I would love to hear other people's discussions that are what this beard issue caused them in their house in private. Like this is not just, oh, let your hair grow out. It's so much more complicated than that.
But you know what? The governing body wasn't finished. As we know, they got into the other areas of personal taste and personal choice. And they allowed men and women to decide how they want to dress themselves. Well, you don't have to wear a tie if you don't want to. You have to wear a jacket if you don't want to. And then the big one, of course, women, you now can wear pants. What is interesting about the way in which they stated, and you can tell the legal department wrote this thing up, they said that women now may wear pants if they like to at the meetings. They didn't say women can. It's very important to understand when the Watchtower writes things, if you look very carefully, you will see that it is often worded in such a manner that if you were to read it 5 years later, you would never know that it was actually something they couldn't do. They often write it in a manner that makes it sound like it's an ongoing thing, when really, it's a change. But the way they write it, that is what they do. So in about 4 or 5 years, a new person who gets baptized and they say someone says about wearing pants, they'll say, well, the Watchtower says sister may wear pants. But it didn't say that they couldn't at one time. These guys are so skillful at what they do. It is amazing. You know, in our opening skit, we had Lady C about to go out in field service in the snow, wanted to wear some pants on March the 14th, and she was condemned by the other sister. 24 hours later, everything is wonderful. This is how you can tell what type of group you're dealing with. Oh yeah, and these type of issues are gonna happen too as sisters wear pants to the Kingdom Hall. Therefore, every congregation will have its own dressing and grooming committee made up of the elders and their wives, and they will dictate exactly how Jehovah's Witnesses should be dressing at the Kingdom Hall. And this is something that you and I, we want to use these instances as a confirmation that we did the right thing. The Jehovah's Witness, which is so amazing, they actually rejoice. They rejoice when the Watchtower takes his foot off the back of their neck. Can you believe that? People are excited. The governing body is going to let us do this now. Something that they could have been doing all the while. But now that the foot has been removed, they rejoice, as opposed to start asking some very serious questions. You know, that was one of the things that we had to do ourselves. We have to ask this question, and we pose it to you. Have you ever asked yourself, how did I get involved in this group and why did I stay so long? Well, that's a question that Lady C and I often asked as well. You know, we often share our college experience when we went back, because one of the first classes we took was psychology. We wanted to know, how in the world can people get involved in these types of groups? Well, that was a scientific research study that was done. It's called the Milgram experiment. And what it does, it shows just how far we as humans are willing to go if we believe we're doing this because an authority figure tells us. Take a look at this experiment.
The Stanley Milgram experiment, conducted in the 1960s, remains one of the most revealing studies in the field of psychology, shedding light on the power of authority and its influence on obedience. Participants, under the guise of contributing to scientific research on memory and learning, were instructed to administer electric shocks to a learner for every incorrect answer given. The shocks were fake, but the participants were unaware, believing their actions caused real pain, evidenced by the learner's, an actor, feigned distress. The authority figure's presence and insistence compelled many participants to continue with the shocks, despite their moral reservations and the visible agony of the learner. This experiment highlighted a disturbing yet profound aspect of human nature, the capacity to act against one's ethical beliefs under authoritative pressure. Drawing parallels to the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Milgram experiment's insights into obedience and authority resonate deeply. The Watchtower Organization, akin to the authoritative figure in Milgram's study, wields significant influence over its members, guiding their beliefs, behaviors, and decisions. This authority is not questioned. It is seen as the path to spiritual salvation and moral correctness. Just as the participants in the experiment continued to administer shocks, believing in the importance of their role in the scientific study, JWs may follow the organization's directives, even when these directives conflict with personal moral values or lead to harmful outcomes. For instance, the policy of shunning, where members are required to cut off all contact with disfellowshipped individuals, including close family members, can cause profound emotional pain and suffering. Yet it is adhered to by many JWs under the belief that it is a necessary measure upheld by the organization's interpretation of biblical teachings. Similarly, the refusal of blood transfusions, even in life-threatening situations, is another example where the authority of the Watchtower takes precedence over personal or immediate familial judgment. The Milgram experiment and the experiences of Jehovah's Witnesses both underscore the complex relationship between authority and obedience. They highlight a critical need for individual critical thinking and moral judgment, especially in contexts where authority figures demand actions that conflict with personal ethics. Understanding the dynamics at play in the Milgram experiment can empower individuals to recognize the potential for manipulation within any authoritative structure, including religious organizations. It serves as a reminder of the importance of questioning and critically evaluating directives from authority figures, ensuring that actions align with personal values and ethical principles.
At least today, the authority figure, the governing body, says you can say hello to a disfellowshipped person. Yes, Stanley Milgram's experiment shows all of us the power of an authority figure. And for that reason, that is why the governing body says specifically, obey us regardless of what we say, even if it makes no sense. You know, we've enjoyed sharing our thoughts about all these changes. And in fact, in future videos, we're going to delve into additional issues about these changes and how they're going to impact Jehovah's Witnesses and even those of us in the ex-Jehovah's Witness community as well. We thank you so much, and we look forward to seeing you on our next video. Take care. This has been JT.
This program was sponsored by Critical Thinkers.